Joining me now on the phone is Congressman Dan Lipinski from Western Springs, Democrat for representing the Southwest Side and suburbs. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good to be with you, Rick.
Appreciate the fact that you bring some unintentional knowledge of this subject. You were out in Gilroy in the Garlic Festival recently, which was victimized by one of these shooters. You and your wife were there. That just had to be a horrifying experience.
It certainly was. It was it was really surreal. It's one of those things that, you know, I've seen videos from people's phones at these events. I tell you what happened. We had been there about 2.5 hours. We were out there for something else, and we thought, I've always wanted to go to the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It's something I've seen on TV, and I love garlic. And I said, let's go out there, and never expecting anything like this. And we were there for about 2.5 hours, and it was about 20 minutes before it was closing, so we were headed to the exit. And as we're walking towards the exit, I heard some pops, and I didn't know what they were. I didn't know if they were firecrackers, but then I saw people running towards us. And I heard a couple more pops, and quickly just decided we better turn around and start running the opposite direction, run with the crowd. We did that. As the pops continued, it was pretty clear to me. I thought that it was probably gunfire. We kept running. There was some of the staff of the festival that told us, come over this way. Unfortunately, it ran us into a fence that was along the perimeter of the event. But then someone said, just push the fence. And fortunately, there was an opening there in the fence. We got through, ran up a wooded hill, we stopped hearing any gunfire. Weren't sure what was going on. Someone was on the phone that was near us was on the phone with someone who was still down in the festival, and they were, things like this happen. There's all kinds of rumors going on. There's a rumor there's someone shooting. Not only was there someone on the ground, there's someone up on a hill shooting from another direction. So it was another very tense, probably about an hour and 15 minutes. They finally brought people back. They had people come back into one spot in an amphitheater, gathered people there. We still didn't know exactly what was going on. Finally, after an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, they said, okay, we're going to lead everyone out one, in a single file. There's buses outside. They're going to take you to where your cars are at. And so we start walking down this path, and a couple minutes into that, all of a sudden people behind us start running. And so we're off. We're running again. And we have no idea. I assume it was just someone heard something. Obviously, everyone's very tense, and we got out of there. We got on a bus, and it was. I said I'm not going to be comfortable till we actually get back to our car, get on the road. And it took us about another 15 minutes before we got back to our car, got on the road, turned the radio on, and heard that three people had been killed. And that's when it, became even more clear to me how serious this was and how close we were to this tragedy.
And this was a 19-year-old that was using an AK-47 type firearm.
Yes.
So I played that clip of President Trump saying that he thought that meaningful background checks could be passed. But we also know that Senator McConnell's office has also said that the senator is not talking about any specific action. I was just looking, and I found a statement that you issued going back to the massacre in Las Vegas. And, you know, your calls then for, you know, starting with, you know, comprehensive background checks. Are you any more optimistic that anything's going to change?
Well, I'm hopeful. And before I, you know, one thing that I want to make sure I mention also about what happened in Gilroy is I was very thankful to law enforcement.
Sure.
I want to say yesterday I was at an event for the 100 Club that helps the families of law enforcement officers locally who have been killed in the line of duty. And at Gilroy, if it weren't for the quick intervention of law enforcement, I mean, quickly the shooter was subdued there, and I really thank God for for that. It could have been much worse. But in regard to any action on any other action right now regarding gun safety, I'm hopeful. I'm not sure if President Trump is going to stick with his position that he stated on this. He is known for changing his position on issues, and we're still 4 weeks away from when Congress is coming back in session, and a lot can happen between now and then. People can the focus can change very, very quickly. I think it's going to be important. I mean, the House has passed a background checks bill earlier this year that I co-sponsored. It's good to hear the president be on board right now. I hope he keeps it up, and rest assured that I think the House Democrats in general are going to keep the pressure up when the Senate comes back in that they act on this bill. Mitch McConnell said he's going to do something. It certainly sounds from what he said he's going to focus on red flag laws, which you know, could be something that is good, that it's helpful, but certainly more than that needs to be done. And starting with passing the background checks bill that the House has already passed.
I mean, we already have a red flag law in Illinois, and there are several other states that do as well. And yeah, certainly, you know, that is something to be explored, but it seems to be just kind of nibbling around the edges of a much more serious issue of trying to keep these weapons out of the hands of people that shouldn't get them.
No question about that. This is a multifaceted problem, needs a multifaceted approach to, you know, cut down on this terrible gun violence. The issue in that we have locally is there are a lot of other things going on there. I think there's other laws that we could pass in terms of in Chicago area. One of the problems is guns coming in, obviously, from other places. There's been some good reporting done on this, where the guns they are used in crimes in Chicago come from. We need to have more strict laws when it comes to laws against fencing of guns, people bringing these guns in from other states. There needs to be increased penalties for doing that. There are a lot of different things that we can and should do, but as President Trump said in that clip you played, the NRA simply believes it's a slippery slope. You can't do anything whatsoever that would impact the ability to get a gun, any kind of gun at any time, anywhere. And so they have fought tooth and nail against anything that most people say is common sense. I've had so many people come up to me in the past 2 weeks and say, look, I'm a gun owner, or I'm a member of the NRA, and I don't think that I don't think some of these guns should be out on the street. You know, I have a gun at home, but that I think some of these guns should not be available. And I think that most people can make that distinction between having common sense laws and, you know, the threat that the NRA always talks about is everyone's guns can be taken away. I think most people can make that distinction and understand that. But the NRA has convinced many people, though, that that's not the case, that you can't pass anything or else that's the end of the Second Amendment, and that's simply not true.
We're speaking with Democratic Congressman Dan Lipinski of Western Springs, representing the Southwest Side and suburbs. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Skyline studio, and joining me on the phone is Democratic Congressman Dan Lipinski from the Southwest Side and suburbs. And we've been talking about issues surrounding a congressional Washington response to gun violence. And Congressman, as you were saying about the influence of the National Rifle Association in Washington, the NRA, though, appears to have been, you know, somewhat weakened, at least in the stories involving the leadership of the NRA. And I'm curious, you know, do you believe that's really the case?
Well, I think that the we'll see a little bit more here in this situation. The NRA is, I think a lot of people focus on the wrong things. The NRA, the reason they have been very successful is they have just been able to convince people of the threat of the slippery slope. And it's not the money so much that is, you know, is contributed to candidates. And the what's going on internally with the NRA, I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have. It's just that they have convinced people, enough people to feel very strongly about the threat of the slippery slope of any kind of gun safety legislation. So we'll see. This will be a test of to see if there is any lessening of the impact.
Maybe a test for the public as well, because we always seem to be short attention span theater on these things.
Well, that is a big problem, especially in the last couple of years. It's always another crisis that comes up. There's always between now and, you know, 4 weeks from now, who knows how many controversial tweets will come out of President Trump. So you never know what's going to go on. And there's a lot, and we shouldn't forget there's a lot else going on in the world right now that I think we're not paying so close attention to that is very important and certainly could become the next potential crisis. So we will see what happens.
Another obviously domestic issue, the conditions at the border. And I know that you were down there with a group of congressmen last month. What did you see there? Because, you know, depending on who you talk to, you get different stories.
Well, I went down to the border in the Rio Grande Valley, and I went with the Problem Solvers Caucus, bipartisan group in the House. There were 17 of us who went, so both the Democrats and Republicans. We visited the Eshel border, went down to the Rio Grande, and with Customs and Border Protection, you know, they showed us an area where we walked down a path that had been worn from the river up to the patrol road, gravel road there that had been used by immigrants coming over. They talked about how difficult a situation it has been with so many people coming over. They talked about the difficulties not just in protecting the border, but trying to keep people safe. And I think this is something that really came through in my visit. The Customs and Border Protection agents have an incredibly difficult job right now, because their primary purpose is to protect our national security, protect the border, but they're also having to care for immigrants who are coming across, many of whom come across in their, some of them are trying to escape being captured. Many of them are surrendering. And a agent told us the sad story about when he found a mother and three children who had died over on the after they had crossed the border because they had gotten lost on the after they had gotten across the across the river, and there were signs up there that actually showed people the way to go to if they needed help, to point them the right direction to go, because you can cross the river and just get lost on the on the American side and not even know where to go. So we saw that. We saw a place where there's a nonprofit caring for unaccompanied minors, 13 to 17-year-old boys, a place that we saw. A lot of people, doing a lot of good work. You know, it was caring for these kids, teaching, taking care of them, teaching them, that classes for them. It was sort of set up like a boarding school. And then the place that most controversial place is where the immigrants first come in to be processed after they're apprehended. And what we saw there was not a good situation, but not a awful, horrible situation that others have talked about. And there's been reports, Inspector General reports, about the overcrowded conditions, how terrible the conditions are that the immigrants are being held in. We did not see that. As I said, they weren't good conditions, but there's a lot of people coming in. They're getting medical care. They're getting new clothes. And this was about 3-4 weeks after we had passed the $4.5 billion of emergency aid. And we were thanked multiple times by the Customs and Border Protection for our group, the problem solvers, helped pass this and get the money there. And they said it's helping make a difference so that they can take better care of the immigrants who are coming across. So that was that is what I saw there. Not that there have not been places where the immigrants have been in terrible conditions, but it's very tough to take care of people, so many people who are coming over. And we have to remember that the most important thing is to make sure that there are no problems within these crowded facilities, and that's something that is also important to remember.
We will be following this story, obviously, that also be something that Congress will be forced to deal with. Congressman Dan Lipinski, Democrat from the Western Springs, Southwest Side and Suburbs, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick.